in the book of Philippians. And not knowing that all of this was going to be coming our way here this week, we've been talking about what it looks like to be partners in the family business, which is the good news, the gospel. Thinking about a couple of weeks ago, we were focused on Paul was writing that part of the letter, talking about pressures on the community of believers, pressures from outside and pressures from inside. And he was talking to us about how to be family, how to be partners in this business of the gospel together. And he said that we need to have the mind of Christ. And there's a bunch of different things we can read into that in some different ways that he described that. But ultimately, it was about preferring others, honoring others before ourselves, serving others' needs and considering their needs before our own. And in a season like this, where we've all seen a little bit of panic, if you've been down the toilet paper aisle at Walmart, you know that there's been panic going on. This is an awesome time for us to hear the words of Paul, to consider for ourselves in real time what it looks like to have the mind of Christ and to be good partners together in this good news business that we're in. We're not going to continue in the series, though, today, because we've got a bunch of other housekeeping things to do. But I want to give you a little sneak peek that I think is important from later on in the book of Philippians, later on in this letter. This comes from chapter 4. I just want you to sit and listen as the Apostle Paul sort of speaks over this community through this letter. I want you to take in these words and take them seriously. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, including this one, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He's telling them, in the midst of all the pressures, in the midst of all the dynamic things that are happening around us, in the midst of confusion and misinformation, don't be anxious. That's a really, really strong word and a really hard thing to live into almost all the time, but especially in moments like this. But he goes on to describe what happens when we posture ourselves this way, when we remember who we are, when we remember that we're partners in the family business, when we remember we are ones who receive the benefit of our conquering king. We receive the benefits of his victory. He says this, if we would do this, not be anxious, go to God with everything. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, like crazy peace, irrational peace, irrational contentment and wholeness, irrational holding together in the wholeness of who we are in Christ. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds, in Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for you, as I still get to be your pastor in this moment of exile here in the East Main Commerce Center. You will allow this crazy, irrational wholeness and joy to guard your heads and your hearts in this time. With all of the information and competing information and ideas that are going around, with all of your, I wonder if I should or I shouldn't, allow the peace of God. To this word, guard your minds and your hearts. I want to pray for you that very thing in this moment, and then we will continue to hear about how we are still in the business together. Let's pray. Father God, in these moments, we come together, and that might be crazy, but we come together in a way that is rooted firmly in our confidence, God, in you. We've been hearing so much about joy from this letter that Paul wrote, about this idea of seeing the end from where we stand and being able to withstand and endure the circumstances because we know the victory that we'll have. God, we claim that today in the name of Jesus. We strongly place ourselves firmly in this peace, this crazy, irrational peace. God, we pray, as Paul instructed, that we pray that we would do this and that you would guard our heads and our hearts in this time. Lord, that we would continue to stand in front of our neighbors and our community as ones who stand in victory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So listen, if we focus on the things that we do have control over, instead of all the things that we don't and the uncertainty, if we focus on the family business, then this time, this moment, this temporary crisis that we find ourselves in will pass with us experiencing more peace, will pass with us experiencing less fear and even joy, knowing the outcome from where we stand. So listen, what can we do? We are the Church of Jesus Christ. We are Five Stones Community Church. He has sovereignly placed us here in Ashland, Ohio. What can we do? So listen, if you're sick, stay home, not just for Sundays, but listen, stay home. Protect your neighbors. Protect your friends. If you've been listening at all, like we've had some meetings with our county health department talking about we're not going to be able to stop the spread of this virus, but we can slow it down, and it's so important for us to do so. And that's why all of the restrictions and the shutdowns, so that we don't overwhelm our medical community. We don't completely blow out the number of beds that the hospitals and clinics have around here, or respirator units or any of the other things that might happen, medical crises that might happen. We don't want to overwhelm our medical system. And that keeps more of us safe. That allows more of us, when we need it, to get the treatment that we need in time. So what can we do? Let's just be smart, people of God. Stay home if you're not feeling well. Wash your hands more often. Wash your hands more often. Look, I get dry skin. I have an ethnic heritage that exposes me to dry skin during the winter times. And washing my hands, it kind of hurts after a while. But that's a sacrifice that I'm willing to make for my own health and the welfare of the people around me. Please, do the same. Keep a social distance. Well, we failed in that this morning. You guys at home, champions. You all here in this intimate space, we failed at. But listen, beyond today, in your dealings, take this seriously. 6 feet away from one another. We were actually talking about putting together some yardsticks that you could duct tape together and take home, so that in your dealings in the rest of your days in the community, you can just make sure that no one's within the zone, right? The cone of safety. Keep some social distance. Again, it's so important for us to love our neighbors in this way. Not to communicate if we are infected, not to carry it to other households. Please keep your social distance. This is a good news thing to do, not a fearful thing to do. But beyond that, being the church, let's join together to look out for one another. So please, please, please check in on your neighbors. Please, please, please check in on your family. There's some people in my life that live alone. I plan to be checking on them. There's some people in my life that sort of are already isolated by their own choices. I think it's wise. I think it's wise to check in on our neighbors and our friends. All right, that's what we can do together, right? Not out of fear, but out of love, out of calm response to this very temporary crisis. But it's what we can do together. Now, what can you do? I was in a meeting with the rest of the ministers in our community, and the health department representative was there, and she said, listen, there's a lot of kids going home. This was on Friday morning. There's a lot of kids going home this weekend that are going to be home for the next several weeks, and their parents maybe are going to have to go to work, and some of those kids are too young to be home by themselves. Some of those kids are going home maybe to environments that aren't really safe for them to be alone in without somebody checking in on them. So listen, she said, if you all could mobilize your people to check in on those families, maybe even adopt one or two of them to check in on, that would be an amazing thing to do that would help everyone. It would help our school district. It would help our medical and healthcare system. It would just bless our town. It would bless our county. If we would check in on each other, specifically, adopt your neighbors. Check in on them. Look out for them. Even offer daycare if you think you can or you should. Here's one that I experienced recently when I had my shoulder surgery. My wife was taking care of me. Somebody went grocery shopping for us when we couldn't go out and do it for ourselves. If you know somebody that's sick, even if it's not like a confirmed coronavirus case, but they are isolated, they're self-isolating, go shopping for them. At least bring them some toilet paper, right? The love of Jesus, toilet paper. Look out for one another. What else can we do? We were connecting, we have been connecting in a very close communication with our friends and our partners at the university. And they're telling us that there's roughly close to 300 international students that are either in dorms on campus or live off campus around the university. And they're isolated and they couldn't go home and they're stuck here. And so they recommended that we engage. We're going to get some more information in the coming days of where to drop some things off. They're going to be calling for partners to come and help deliver meals and care packages to these university students. And guess what? That's our community. These are the people that live right on the doorsteps of where we normally meet. So you talk about neighbors. These are our proverbial neighbors, our real neighbors. And so we have a chance. They're asking that we consider buying some thermometers. There's a lot of students that don't have thermometers that maybe have to stay in their rooms isolated there. Bring some thermometers in. And again, we'll be telling you through our website and through our normal means of communication when and where to bring those. But pick up some thermometers for the international students. Write notes of encouragement to them. Right there, we're hearing that they're afraid. They're alone and they're afraid. We're in the business of good news. Right? Jesus one time said that that we ought to go to those that are lonely or imprisoned or are sick and bring them good news, bring them care, bring the community of heaven around them. And that is our privilege. But it's also a mandate for us to be those people that take care of those people. Gather comfort items for care packages, etc. We've got a lot of opportunities to be the church right now in ways that people are looking for, people are open to, and people need. So, what else can we do? Let's remember that this is temporary. Can we all just take a deep breath? Whatever this situation is becoming, it's temporary. And it will pass, like all other pandemics have passed. I was on the phone with a person in our community, not a member of Five Stones, but they were telling me about how they were ready to shoot anyone that came through their door after their toilet paper and water. And I giggled a little bit until I realized that they were serious. And it all of a sudden occurred to me, man, this is temporary. Like, it'll be over. In just a few weeks or a few months, it'll be over. And why would we do something now out of fear and confusion? Why would we do something now that we're going to big time regret as this moment passes in our community? And so I would encourage you to hear that word. It is temporary. We can stand now as partners in the gospel. We can stand now as people that will go to and take care of and serve others in this moment, like the church has through every pandemic throughout the history of the existence of the church. And it is a rich history. And there are beautiful, terrible stories of the church coming to the aid of the community that they find themselves in. My own great-grandfather, in the influenza epidemic of 1918, lost his life serving people that couldn't get to medical help. He was a pharmacist, and he carried medicines into community in Cleveland that couldn't get out. It wasn't being touched by other medical services. And so I tell you, just like I do, very literally, you do as well, stand in a long line of people who are willing to give up their comfort, who are willing to push back the fear, and to bring light and love and touch into spaces where maybe others will not. Remember, this is temporary. Take care of each other. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook. A few of you are on Facebook. It's okay if you're not. But if you are on Facebook, you may have already received an invite to a Facebook community page specifically for us as Five Stones Community Church to share what we need or share prayer requests. And it's only going to be viewed by people here in our church. You don't have to use it. You can text, you can call, you can email. But if you want many people to share, like, hey, I'm out of toilet paper, I'm just going to keep riding that thing. Does anybody have any? You can post it there on that Facebook page. And over the next few days, you probably will see an invitation to connect there. And if you want to, accept the invitation and participate in that. I already mentioned the giving piece. Look, this is like one of those things that's hard for pastors who are receiving the livelihood from the church to talk about. And I just want to tell you, if no money comes in, it's going to be hard for my family to carry on in the way that we are. But let's put that aside for a minute. And let me remind you that we have all of these amazing, amazing opportunities to stand up as the family of God in this town, in this time. We don't know what all those are going to be yet. We'll know more Tuesday, Wednesday. We want to be prepared. We want to be prepared to mobilize. We want to be prepared to meet needs as needs arise. So enough said about that. Does it make sense to you? These are the things that we can do. Now, in the time that we have remaining, I just want to give you a little encouragement from Jesus himself. In the Gospel of John, in the 17th chapter, Jesus is in the middle of praying. It's an extended prayer where Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ, is praying for his followers. And in the previous section to the one that we're about to jump into, he's praying for their safety. He knows the pressures and the dynamics that they're about to face. He knows it's going to be tough. So he's asking for protection, among other things. But then his prayer continues in John 17, verse 15. I just want to read it to you. And we're going to point a few things out to you through this prayer. This is Jesus praying. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. You know, this is one of those questions that I've had people ask. Why doesn't God just take us out? Why doesn't he just, like, remove us from the pain or the danger or the confusion? Jesus says, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. He's praying to his Father. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world, Jesus said. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. Your word is consecrating truth. I'm asking that you, not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And he acknowledges that his followers, his disciples, right, the people that we commonly refer to as the apostles and the people that are gathered around Jesus at this time, he knows that they're no longer defined by the standards of the world, by the culture and society that they live in. They are no more defined by that now than I am, Jesus says. So make them holy, which means set apart, consecrated, prepared for service. Make them holy and consecrated. Don't remove them from danger, but instead make them ready to face it. With the truth, Jesus goes on, your word is that preparing, consecrating truth. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, Jesus is saying, I give them a mission in the world. So if you need it reminded, anymore today from my mouth that we still have a mission and a ministry in this place. Hear it. I give them a mission just as I have a mission, Jesus says, and I'm consecrating myself for their sakes, so they will be truth concentrated in, or consecrated in their mission. This is Jesus praying. By the way, he knows already that no one is better in a crisis than God's people. Throughout history, no one is better in a crisis than God's people. Jesus continues, I'm praying not only for them, here's where your ears should be picking up, I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. Jesus is praying for you and for me. I pray not only for them, these people that are already gathered around him, but for the people that will believe because of their witness and their testimony. That's you and me. He's praying for you and for me. He continues, the goal is for all of them to become one heart and one mind. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Listen, Five Stones, our friends visiting online, there's no more powerful thing than for God's people to have one heart and one mind. If you've heard anything already today, it's that our one heart and one mind is not an anxious one. Instead, it's the one that gives all that stuff up to God so that we can have ridiculous, irrational peace, that we would be the ones who are calm in the storm, that our one heart and our one mind would be for the restoration of all things and all people for all time. Our mission in the world. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and one mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, so that they might be one heart and mind with us. We join in the fellowship and the community of the Trinity. When we approach our lives and the community around us in this way, one heart and one mind, then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. Whoa. So they'll be as unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. Jesus is praying this for you and for me, and I can't think of a better time to remind you of his heart for us. And his heart for creation than right now. That we would be one. God the Father, in perfect unity and harmony with the Son, and the Son with us through the presence of the Spirit that dwells in us, that has the power to overcome even death itself, that we would be one. He finishes this part of the prayer by saying, then they'll be mature in this oneness. We will grow into maturity because we need to. We don't start there. But we will become mature in our oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way that you loved me. Listen, what we do now, how we posture ourselves now, is a reflection to the world around us of God's love for them. Very, very directly. Very, very clearly. And it's the inevitable nature of the church that we will grow in unity and like-mindedness as we move towards God, as Jesus' own prayer is answered in us. So during this season, we may have to work harder because we're not coming together in the same ways. But the text is clear that the world is watching. Our neighbors are watching. They're looking for hope. They're looking for peace. They're going to want to know why we're not freaking out, why we're willing to share our toilet paper. May they find it in us, and may they find it through us. So, in the weeks to come, when we're not meeting here face-to-face, but we're gathering around in small groups in our living room with our families or with a select group of friends staying at least 6 feet apart from one another, we're streaming We're streaming the content together that comes from your leaders, not just from me, but from the leaders of your congregation that listen to God together and listen to you together. I pray that you will hold this in mind. You will hold this tension in mind that while we are to be responsible citizens of this community, that responsibility and our response to it isn't a reaction to fear. It's not a reaction to confusion. It's an intentional step, loving our neighbors by staying away from them if need be. It's an intentional step, moving toward our neighbors if need be. It's an intentional coming together of one heart and mind so that the world will know that Jesus is who he says he is. And that while we're not altogether completely like him yet, it's working itself out in us. He did say he's faithful to complete this work. I want to remind you that in this time. I want to close with another section from Paul's letter to Philippians. When I think about joy, this idea that we can see what's coming from the midst of our circumstances right now, this part of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi reminds me of this. But as you hear these words, I pray that your minds will be quick to capture them. And even in your imagination, you can begin to picture what these words describe. So take a listen as I close with the words of Paul. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put that into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. In the days to come, I pray that you will focus on the things that you can control. And I pray that you will fix your mind on the things of heaven. Not in a way of thinking about escaping, but in a way of fixating on what's to come. And how that influences who you are and what you do today. Amen? Let me pray for you. Ben, you can come on up. God, as I close my eyes to focus on you in this moment, just this name for you bursts into my head. God of the angel armies. And I'm struck by that image and by that name, and I'm struck by all that it means for me, and I'm struck by all that it means for all of those who call you daddy, for all of those whom you call sons and daughters, from all of those who you call to your table. You are the God of the angel armies, the ones that fight on our behalf in the unseen places and unseen ways. And God, we call upon you and your armies, Lord. In this season of our lives, we pray that you will push back fear and the darkness that comes from it. God, we pray that you will fight against that power in our community, not just in our hearts and not just in our heads, but in the heads and hearts and minds of the people in our town, the people of our county, the people of this world, that your angel armies, God, will reign victorious in our heads and hearts in this season. God, we pray that you will pour into us, in the power of your Holy Spirit, courage. A courage that is fueled by love. A courage that is willing to stay away, and a courage that is willing to run toward. God, I pray that you will pour out your wisdom and the power of your Spirit upon us today and these weeks, Lord, that as we find new ways to connect with each other, new ways to serve our friends and our family, Lord, that you will increase our oneness and the likeness and the like-mindedness that we have in your name. Lord, grow our hearts and our minds together. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.